All right, Jonah chapter 2 is where we're going to be tonight. Jonah chapter 2. We'll stand in just a moment, so don't stand yet. I have some stuff I want to say first. Well, I am thankful for the opportunity to preach, and I feel like this is what you're supposed to say. You know, Anyways, I really am thankful for the opportunity. Like, I don't want to look past it. But I do feel like it's like a repetition sometimes that everyone who preaches says something like that in the beginning. Brother Pringle, I mean, I'm sure you do something similar. Yep, okay. Every preacher I've ever heard, that's like in their pre-talk. Before they ever say anything about the message, it's like, thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach. But I really mean that. Like, I just want y'all to know, like, because it really is an honor. I was talking to Miss Robin earlier, and, you know, life goes on. even when you're about to preach, life happens. And, but God's good. And so So let's go ahead and stand. We're going to go ahead and read. I decided to wait to say that. I do have notes. And it unlocked tonight, too. Last time, it didn't unlock for a few minutes. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God," his God. It's the first time that's said yet, that the Lord is Jonah's God. Okay. "Out of the fish's belly." So that's significant. He's in the fish's belly here. "And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And then to cap it off, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and he vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground," or dry land. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful that when we mess everything up, you hear us. And Lord, I'm thankful for your long suffering to us. Lord, I'm thankful that we have a story here about Jonah, who he did all those things, but yet you were faithful to him. And Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight to learn the lesson here. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to preach a message entitled, "The End of Yourself." The end of yourself. If you go back and remember what happens in Jonah chapter 1, could we say this, that Jonah messed everything up? Like, he didn't leave one stone unturned, and he messed the whole plan God had for him up. Read verse 1 of chapter 1. It's right across the page. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." It's pretty clear what God wanted Jonah to do. Don't you wish it was always that clear? Like, "Hey, Tim, I want you to move to Missouri." Like, it's not always that clear, is it? It's not. But for Jonah, it was. And I think the clarity of the situation has weight to it. Because even when we know exactly what God wants us to do, it is our propensity, it is our bent, it is our idea within us to do what I want to do, isn't it? Yeah. So, that's what happens in Jonah chapter 1. In verse 3, he rose and flees to Tarshish. We talked about how that's the complete opposite direction of what God wanted him to do. He even hired a whole ship and paid his way to go in that complete opposite direction. He was so at peace with his own decision within himself, he decides to go to sleep in the middle of the storm. And it wasn't just any storm. It was something so significant that even the fishermen, the mariners had no idea what to do. They were even crawling out to their gods. And I don't know if you know this from the New Testament, but fishermen are not usually the people that have a great relationship with God. Okay, my grandpa was a fisherman, and that's true. Okay, it's not a culture or an environment that is conducive for those to serve God. It's just not the lifestyle of a fisherman. But even in the midst of this storm, this significant storm, they were calling out to their gods. They called out to their God with no answer. And then they decide, well, if our gods aren't working, well, maybe his gods will. And they found him in the bottom of the ship. And what does he do? Well, he said, well, I'm a Hebrew. Like, I know the God that created the sea, the land, the heavens. That's my God. Or no, he said, I fear him. He didn't say my God yet. Because he doesn't need him yet. Okay. So he says, I fear him. I fear him. And then the mariners are really distressed because now they fully understand the weight of the situation. Why this storm is so weird and different and so tempestuous. Okay, that's the Bible word. Okay, tempestuous. Two different times that word is used. And how that this storm is not the regular type of storms they're used to. Okay, because God was judging someone. And they just happen to be caught in the middle of it. So Jonah's response is, well, why don't you just throw me overboard? Because then it's the best of both worlds. God can't use me anymore because I'm dead. And so the sea will be stilled because there's no reason for God to judge you because I know he's after me. That's what you want your preacher to say. But even the mariners have more character at this point than even Jonah, don't they? Because they didn't do that. They said, we're going to fight even harder and harder. And it came to the point that it was either their lives or his lives, and it's his fault. So, bye Jonah. They throw him overboard. And then we get to the last verse of chapter 1, verse 17. It says this, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. In the belly of the whale was one of the greatest incredible stories in all the Bible. It's because God preserved a man inside of the digestive system of a whale. It's not just his belly. I mean, it's really inside of him. Okay? I want y'all to be grossed out. It's okay. Because that's what the Bible says. I mean, I'm a youth guy. Okay. So he's inside the belly. Could you imagine what he looked like when he got vomited up? I mean, there's historical record of people who have been inside stomach acid, and it bleaches them. And there's, because of all the acid working against to digest, that's how God made us. Okay. And he made whales bigger. So that was not in my notes. It is later. So he's inside the belly of the whale, okay, the whale. And he is doing exactly opposite of what God wants him to do. And he's embraced that. So what does God do? He preserves him. He decides that somehow, some way, Jonah is going to be useful because he's going to choose right eventually. Okay, and this is where chapter 2 begins. Is that then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Jonah prayed from the belly of the whale because he came to the end of himself. Where else was Jonah going to turn? I mean, put yourself inside of a belly. of a well. I mean, there's nowhere to go. Okay, you're literally, the next option in Jonah's mind is what? It's death. There's nowhere else to go. And so what does Jonah do? Well, at any point, if I'm going to get right with God, it better be now. Can you see that? Like, there's some pressure to, if anything's wrong between me and God, if you're facing death, now's the time. So there's that to mess with as well. And here's another important part of the story too, is that God allowed for Jonah to come to that point. It's not that Jonah just happened to fall into a well's belly. No, that's not what happened, is it? God prepared the fish. That's insignificant. So here it is in my notes. In the midst of the digestive system, Jonah calls out to God. It's at that point that all this is going on around him that he calls out to God, and God hears his prayer in verse 2. So let's read verse 2 together. So Jonah's talking and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. You know, the very first thing that Jonah, when he's approaching God, remember, he's a prophet. He knows how to approach God. He's very aware of what pleases God and what displeases God. He's very aware of those things. What's the first thing you do? He claims responsibility. By reason of my affliction, by reason of what I have done, I am suffering for this affliction right now. It's not that God brought this to me just because he wanted to try me. No. It's because I chose to reject God's plan for my life, and now I'm suffering this affliction. When we deal with things in our lives, we have to be careful to understand which direction things are coming from. Because there are things that God allows us to be tried in. But there are also things that God allows us to go through because we've disobeyed him. Amen. There's a distinct difference in the Bible. Amen. When Jonah is in the belly of the whale, he is literally facing his own affliction. It is his problem that he is now working through. And he admits that. That's the very first thing he says. He said, who else am I going to cry out to? I want to make sure that the Lord knows he's my God, that he's mine. His affliction was going to be death by whale. The reason was that he had run from the call of God on his life, and then he compounded it by seeking to run from the presence of God. In verse 1, it's the first time that Jonah lays claim to his God, that it's my God. Could you say he forgot who he was? Because, I mean, the first part is he was running from who he was. He was a prophet of God, supposed to be telling people the judgment of God is coming. But he chose not to. He wasn't being who he was supposed to be. Jonah, for the first time, he notices that if I keep running from God, that death is a real option. It's there. It's noticeable that Jonah is in deep despair by his own admission. Yet his response to God was appropriate. Well, what makes it appropriate, Brother Tim? It's that he knew who to go to. But secondly, he didn't only know who to go to, but he knew who was in control of who of everything. It wasn't just that, well, God could fix it for me. And could God fix it for him? Yes. But it's that God was in control of it. And he acknowledges that God was in control of this situation. It might have taken a storm, mariners, and a great fish to do that. But Jonah finally gets there. Jonah's prayer to God is focused on two different things. It's focused on Jonah's repentance. And then after his repentance, it focuses on his worship of God, his thanksgiving to God. Okay? The first thing, the issue of sin is only resolved through repentance. There's no other way. So I have chosen to reject God's plan for my life, okay, sin. Okay. And then I've chosen to run from that. That's a part two sin. Remember, rejecting truth continually makes us make more absurd decisions. And it's not that the first one wasn't absurd. It's that it compounds on itself, doesn't it? And then the next one is like, where am I going? And then you finally get to the end and you're like, I have nowhere else to turn. This is where Jonah was. He was at the end of himself. Jonah, being a prophet, was one that had a relationship with God. We've said that already. Yet in the midst of a whale, what was he supposed to do? Was he just supposed to steer it back to Jerusalem? No. So what was he supposed to do? One, you're supposed to admit that I've sinned against God. And he does, doesn't he? Let's read in verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the flood compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then said I am cast out of thy sight. I am cast out of thy sight. It's not that, so that's causative. So when he said that God cast him out of his sight, but there was a reason that God cast him out of his sight. It's causative, okay? So what would that cause be? Because he ran from the call of God, okay? And now he's in the belly of the great fish, and now he has to do something. He's like, well, I will look again to the holy temple. Well, how is he supposed to look to the holy temple? I mean, which way would it be most likely to the... east? I have no idea. Neither did Jonah. He's in the belly of a great fish. How would he know how to look toward... We say, well, it's poetry. Well, it is poetry. And that's fair. But when someone approaches God, there's a way to do it. That's what's significant about here, about this instance, is that we don't just approach God however we want to, and it's okay with him. No, Jonah, as a Jew, a good Jew in Israel, a good Jew would know that if I need to talk to God and be forgiven of my sin, where would I need to go? The temple. Okay, could he physically go to the temple? He's a little detained right now, isn't he? Okay. So in doing that, he admits his affliction. He admits of his lying to accomplish his own will, was forsaking the very mercy of God. We'll get that in verse 8 in just a minute. But he admits that he had been brought to the brink of corruption, and that's the point of his turning. It's that if nothing else happened, I'm going to be corrupted. I'm going to die. Okay, if nothing else happens, that you can save me from this corruption, that this end. Okay. Jonah could commit to wholehearted worship, and he did. He did. So the term thankfulness, every time it's used in this instance, is to proclaim the excellence of someone else. Okay, and it's almost always used in reference to God. And then 32 times in the Bible, it is used and always in conjunction with a sacrifice. And not just a sacrifice, but a blood sacrifice. And when we think of blood, we think of sin, don't we? So when he uses the word sacrifice in just a moment, he's referencing those things that would be forgiven sin. Okay, he knew how to get a hold of God. And he knew what to do when people needed to repent of their sin. He's a prophet. Jonah finally got it. He understood that he was being judged for his transgressions against God. Jonah writes this also in the past tense. Did you notice that when we were reading it? It's all looking back and it's poetic. It's not an actual account of exactly what happened, but it's his rendition of how God worked in this situation. Okay. When Jonah is contemplating how God had forgiven him of running from him, at whatever point of life this was, he knew that it was because I repented and I came to God his way is why I was forgiven. There's no other way. He had to come to an end of himself. But Jonah still had to go to Nineveh. Isn't that the problem of the whole book? That Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh? I mean, that's what started all of the issues, is that he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew his merciful God who was showing mercy to him. It's almost as if the first two chapters, the role of Nineveh and Jonah have been reversed. Think about it. Okay, so Nineveh needed God, didn't they? They were going to be judged because of their sin before him. It had come up before him, is what it says, like a smell. It would come up before them. But what is Jonah going to do here? He said, well, I'm not going to help them because they're my enemy. I don't want to help my enemy. So what does he do? He runs in the other direction. And so what he does is, instead of delivering them the mercy of God, the grace of God, he chooses not to. Hold that thought. Jonah, what does he do as soon as he hits the mouth of the belly of the whale? Cries out for the mercy of God, doesn't he? And he expects it. At some point, he said, he's going to deliver me from this corruption. He said, at some point, I know that God is going to forgive me, because we have the rest of the Bible, don't we? We have 1 John 1:9. He said, he's faithful and just, forgive those who come before him, right? Okay? And so, we have all those things. Nineveh doesn't. Do you see it? It's a play within itself. It's that Nineveh needed it to know God. But Jonah knew God and expected it, and just it was nonchalant to him. That explains the end of the book, doesn't it? It does. Jonah was able to cry out to God, and he did deliver him. We say, well, I have all these theological questions like bouncing through my head, like, why would God do this? And why would God not do that? Or why would God allow for Jonah to disrespect God like that? Because he didn't want him to. Well, we have a free will. And, I mean, we're working through the book of Esther, and y'all are going to see it coming, how that God is providentially working in Esther's life before she's ever mentioned in the book. And providentially working in Ahasuerus' life to set up wars and different things that are going to all play in the deliverance of the Jews. Okay. Jonah is brought to the end of himself. It was in the depths of the sea that Jonah saw his need. And Jonah was able to cry out. But the people of Nineveh were not able to, because Jonah didn't go. But we're not in chapter 3 yet. So I have a question. Where will you have to pray from? Have you thought about that? Where is the end of me? Where's the end of you? For Jonah, it was a belly of a whale. For some people, it's a jail cell. For some people, it's death row. What has caused you to run from God? Has God given a clear direction and you've sought something completely different? Has it been clear that God wants you to do this specific thing and you're choosing to rebel against it? Over and over through the Bible, God allows people to come to the end of themselves. The end. There's nowhere else to turn because of their wicked decisions. Think about the prodigal. He took all he had and spent it how he wanted to. And then what does he have to do? He's got to go home. You think about David and Bathsheba. Their son literally dies. There's nowhere else to turn. And of himself. What do you think about Peter? Denies Jesus 3 times. The most crucial point of his life. And of himself. The judgment of God is a terrible thing. Just as Jonah was in the midst of the whale's belly, he knew God was hearing him, though. Just as Jonah knew that even in the grave, he was being heard by his God. The judgment of God is a terrible thing, but it's also a blessed thing. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth. You tonight may find yourself in a terrible place of God's judgment, but you are told in the Bible that God is ready to hear those who will call out to him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. It's not just that he's faithful. It's that he's just too. Amen. And he's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We knowingly have wronged a holy God, and that's called rebellion, yet he still seeks us. Yes, sir. If we could say it this way, and I don't want to diminish it, but God has a heart to forgive us. He does. And that's a blessing. And that doesn't diminish either the holy nature of our God, but it does require a debt to be paid, doesn't it? The ability that Jonah had in the belly of that whale, and even at to the point of death, by his own hand to call out to a God and know he was heard, is available to you and me tonight. That same assurance that our God hears us in our darkest night, in the darkest situation that I can put myself in, God is available. I think sometimes as Christians, as good Christians who live a average life, can we say it that way? And we're not ones that are prone to some gross immoral sin that would get us locked up or put it in a terrible situation, okay? We think, well, there's lines to God's forgiveness. And there's certain lines that God just can't forgive. I don't believe that. Amen. That's not in the Bible. But there are consequences. Jonah was here. He said, I know that death is here, but corruption doesn't have to come. Okay, so verse 8. Or verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was with me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Why? Because he's been forgiven. He's back in a right relationship with God. It's that Jonah realized that he had offended a holy and righteous God, and that because of that, he approached a God with a perfect heart, and God forgave him, so he's no longer corrupted, and God brought him out. Jonah could still have died in the belly of that whale, because there's no point to that point that it's told to Jonah, hey, you're going to get vomited up on dry land in a little bit, just hold on tight. That's not what happened. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. No matter what I get myself into, and that's not a license to get myself into things. I want to be careful with that too. It's not that I have a right to do that. I don't have any rights. Paul calls me a slave. To who? To our Savior, Jesus Christ, a bondslave. I've chosen that, okay? Doesn't give me a right to go do what I want to do. But it does give me a right to approach our Father. You might have made a mess of things, or maybe you're in the process of making a mess of things. I promise you this, from my limited experience and stories from other people, that if you will pray and come to the end of yourself at an altar, that's a lot better place to come to an end of yourself than some of the stories I've heard. Yes, Jonah ran from God. And yes, he faced the judgment of God. And yes, it took Jonah to the end of himself. But at the end of himself, God was waiting with a purpose for Jonah's life.
Yes, sir.
The purpose didn't change.
That's right.
Go to Nineveh. Tell them that judgment's coming. That's all you had to do. And that might be the best part. Is that even though Jonah made a mess of his own life and had to suffer the consequences of it, God still had a purpose for him. I can make a mess of things. There's a situation today like I completely blew. Like, not bad, but like I just messed up the whole situation, you know? And I'm like, man, I messed up. And it was just someone else's time, and I just wasn't thinking through it. And I'd given myself to be in two places at once, which I'm learning is hard to do. And I just made a mess of it, you know, just the whole side of it. But both people were very kind and thankful that I fixed it before I showed up at one place, not the other. But I can make a mess of things, can't I? And you can too. And not just on appointments, but, you know, maybe you're who I'm going to marry, or what job am I going to, or where am I going to live, or where am I going to go to church. You know, there's all these things that have weight to our lives. Come at the end of yourself now, and don't wait till God has to put you in the belly of a great fish. Let's pray. Father, I love you, and Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your long-suffering. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, if no one here got anything else, I just pray that they know that you love them and you have a purpose for them. Lord, I pray that you just help us tonight. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed. Let's all stand. Every eye closed. If you need to come forward tonight, I would challenge you to do that. And if you want someone to pray with, there's men and women that could help you with that. We're going to sing a few verses of invitation. If you need to come forward, I would encourage you to do that. Brother John.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come.